Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It is Oregon and Washington week, ladies and gentlemen. 12:30 on Saturday up in Seattle. You can hear the game right here on The Fan, the home of the Oregon Ducks. Pregame, postgame, the whole thing Saturday as the Ducks and Huskies revisit their rivalry. So we thought what better person to bring on than Dave Softy Mahler at Softy KJR on Twitter. Go give him a follow for all things Husky related. Softy, thanks, man, for hopping on with us. I'll just start. You had a video last year. Breathing heavy already. I love it. You had a video last year that Oregon fans enjoyed. Have you recovered from that yet?
I was sick that weekend, and if I knew what was going to happen, I'm glad I missed that trip last year. I was sick as a dog and watching that game at home, so have I recovered from it? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, dude, I lived through 12 freaking years of getting beat by Oregon every single year, so I can handle one game.
Over the 12-year span, Softy, I want a guesstimation here. How many people did you block in Oregon during the 12-year span? Because my co-host was one of them.
Yeah. Are you still one of them?
No, I think I'm unblocked now.
You unblocked him after you beat him, yeah.
After well, we'll check on that when this interview's over. I would say my block list grows exponentially the week of the Oregon game, for sure. And then maybe after a couple, 2-3 weeks, after Oregon goes in the tank again, like they always usually do, I kind of feel bad for you guys and let you back into the softy bubble. So we'll see what happens this weekend.
Where's the confidence at right now, all seriousness aside, like with this, with Washington, the way they play, they lose to Stanford, they win last week. And where are you at with the Dogs right now?
Well, if you would have asked me that question a week and a half ago, I would have been in a much different space. And I'm not frankly sure how much different it should be after playing Arizona. I mean, look, I mean, Arizona's defense is god-awful. I mean, they are just terrible. I'm not even sure if they're Pac-12 or even Power 5, you know, caliber defense. And Washington just walked all over those guys in the second half. 38 points. Jacob Eason was freaking amazing. 8 of 10, buck 75, couple of touchdowns. Perfect passer rating by NFL standards of 158.3. And then seeing number 15, Puka Nacua, the freshman from Utah, step up and play the way he did made me feel pretty good. But then I went back home and realized it was freaking Arizona. I mean, if this was like, I don't know, maybe even like a USC or an Arizona State or even a Stanford or you guys down there in Oregon, maybe I would have felt a little better. But I guess in the end, look, Washington needed a game like that because, frankly, their offense for the most part in the last couple weeks has been terrible. They had a touchdown pass to Aaron Fuller in the early part of the fourth quarter in that game, guys, on Saturday. That was the first touchdown catch by a wide receiver since the third quarter of the BYU game 12 quarters ago.
Wow.
That's how long it took a wide receiver to get back in the end zone. So I'm hoping that they found a little something-something, but now we're talking about going up against a much different animal defensively on Saturday, as you guys know.
Yeah, the offensive blows are funny, too, because Oregon fans are feeling the same way. They finally got it going, but it was Colorado, and you know how bad Colorado is defensively, so it's hard to put a lot of stock into it. We're talking with Softy at Softy KJR on Twitter. Go give him a follow, Oregon, Washington, this weekend. You know, we've heard from Husky fans, too, the last couple of years. It was just a weird situation around Browning, where he was such a successful quarterback, but there was always the desire for more, even though we accomplished a ton, all-time wins leader, all that stuff, and it felt like all I heard from Husky fans was just wait. Easton's the dude. Wait till this guy takes over. What's not clicking there? I mean, I know the receivers haven't been great, but the number's not jumping off the page at me. What's not clicking with Easton right now?
Well, it was clicking Saturday in the second half. I'll tell you that right now. But again, like we just talked about, it's against Arizona. It was also clicking against USC, too. Look, I think in the end, let's not make this hard. Catch the ball, right? I mean, you go back and look at their two losses against California and against Stanford, and the biggest consistent theme is guys dropping footballs. They had 6 drops, I think, against Cal and 5 or 6 more against Stanford. Tight ends dropping balls, wide receivers dropping balls, running backs dropping balls. Some people have said Jacob Eason throws the ball too hard, which I think is ridiculous. Catch the freaking ball. You got balls bouncing off receivers' faces, balls bouncing off receivers' chests. And I think that now with the arrival of Puka Nacua, honestly, I think the rest of that receiving core, including Aaron Fuller and Andre Bocelli and Chuka McClatcher, who are all upperclassmen, is on notice that if you guys don't get the job done, we got a bunch of four-star guys, including Puka, including Marcus Spike or Austin Osborne from California, who can step in and take your job right away. So, again, I'm hoping that those days are behind them with that second half of the game on Saturday versus Arizona. I'm not going to be convinced of that until I see it on Saturday versus you guys.
Two-parter for you, Softy. One, are you surprised what you've seen post-Jonathan Smith when he left for Oregon State and what that offense has been now for almost a season and a half now? And then two, are you surprised just in general the offense largely in his tenure hasn't been the thing people talk about with Washington under Chris Peterson? It's been the defense.
Right. Well, it's funny because they're second in the conference in scoring right now. The Huskies are at 36.4 points a game. They're actually averaging about a half a point more than Oregon is, but I think we all know that part of that is because of the weak non-conference schedule that Washington played, and outside of the Auburn game, Oregon didn't play anybody either. So am I surprised that UW's offense is struggling? A little bit, yeah. I mean, I would think that, whether it's Jonathan Smith or whether it's Butch Hamden or whether it's Jeff Tedford as an advisor, whatever the hell role he played back in 2016, the main theme should be Chris Peterson, right? As long as Chris Peterson's here, this offense should be clicking, just like in Seattle with the Seahawks. As long as Pete Carroll's here, the defense should be clicking. So I am a little bit surprised that, what they've become from an identity perspective. They've become a football team that really relies on their defense and their run game. But I think, again, part of that has been recruiting. I mean, they are recruiting a different animal of wide receiver now than they were 3 or 4 years ago. Go back and look at 2015, 16, 17. The type of wide receiver Washington was getting as far as body style versus what they're getting now, it's a much different looking player. But, the thing is, guys, is that UW graduated 9 starters on their defense last year, and they're still sitting there averaging only 19 points a game on defense. Not as good as Oregon, who's under 10 points a game, but I think that the defensive job that they've done so far has been adequate. Yes, the California game in the second half was a total freaking disaster against those guys. They ran all over them. They threw all over freshman corners, including Kyler Gordon. The hope up here is that this football team is much different physically, much different experience-wise, even now a month later versus where they were 4 weeks ago against California.
Yeah, we're talking with Softy KJR up in Seattle. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Softy KJR. You mentioned the defense. We know that. I mean, they've had good defenses throughout, and it's always a challenge when you go against them. And the Oregon offense still has a lot of questions to answer, and I think this weekend we'll find out just where they're at and how much confidence they have in running the ball and throwing the ball. How do you think they're going to defend Oregon? I mean, as good as Justin Herbert is and all the praise he's had, his issues in big games, people are waiting for him to have that kind of marquee moment as the Oregon quarterback. We know they like to run the football, but the tight end's out.
Sure.
How do you think they defend Oregon this weekend?
Well, first of all, Breland being out is huge. I mean, let's not mince words on that, right? I mean, the guy might be the best tight end in the country, certainly the conference. And, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he's Justin Herbert's favorite target, right?
He's
and now he's gone for the game on Saturday. So to not have a guy like that is a huge blow for Oregon and potentially a huge gift for UW, because one thing they've had problems with is linebackers in coverage. And, a tight end down the seam is not something I would like to see on Saturday. So I'm glad to hear that Breland's not playing. I think this whole idea of, you want to play a team at their best, screw that, man. That's insane, okay? If Oregon announced today that Verdell and Justin Herbert were not playing, I'd be doing freaking jumping jacks up in Seattle. And you should do the same thing with Jacob Eason and guys like Savon Ahmed and Trey Adams, okay? So that's number one. Number two, if they get off on the ground, meaning Oregon, on Saturday, they're done, all right? There's no way that Oregon can have a big day on the ground, just like they had a year ago, going for almost a buck 80 against Washington, and the Huskies expect to win a game like that. They have to stop the run first and foremost on Saturday. If they don't do that, they're going to be in big trouble. So I just think loading the box, I think better safety play, and they've made a small tweak at safety. Cam Williams, who was the freshman, been starting at safety the last 4 or 5 games. He was replaced by another freshman, and Asa Turner, who's a bit of a better athlete than Cam Williams is, and I thought their blitz packages and their run game, at least against JJ on Saturday in Tucson, their run game defense was a little bit better. I mean, Arizona had some big plays on the ground, but overall their run defense was better. That was an offense in Arizona that was averaging 37 points a game, and the Huskies held those guys to 27. Khalil Tate looked terrible, awful against the Husky defense last Saturday. How much of that was Khalil Tate being banged up and not being at 100%, I don't know. I do know this. They played a guy who the week before against Colorado was unbelievable, and they made him look stupid in the game on Saturday in Tucson. So I'm hoping the defense took a big step as well.
Yeah, you know,
I would say, look, the advantage in this game, offense versus defense, sorry to interrupt you, if it's Oregon's offense versus Washington's defense, you would think that Oregon would have the advantage. They've got a senior-laden offensive line. They got an upperclassman, a quarterback, going up against a very inexperienced, for the most part, except for Miles Bryant, front seven. So if they can get by that first layer of the Husky defense, we're talking about Sam Taimani, Ryan Bowman, Joe Tryon, players like that. If they can get into the second layer of that Husky defense, that's going to be a big, big advantage for Oregon because they have the experience there and Washington doesn't.
Well, I was just going to say something to that effect is I don't know if Oregon really does have an advantage. Oregon on the road, Softy, against really good teams. I don't know if they've proven anything yet with Cristobal. So seeing that offense travel is going to be another thing. I was actually just going to ask, are you doing okay? What's this week like on you emotionally?
This week is great, man. Are you kidding me? I mean, it can't get any worse for me. My freaking dog just died last week, and the freaking Huskies got hammered by Stanford last weekend. So anything that happens in a positive perspective for me is a freaking bonus. So losing a football game to Oregon is going to suck, but it can't compare to me losing my dog last Tuesday, who I loved for 14 years. Not sure if you guys have dogs or not down there.
We do.
They're like freaking family members, so I was crushed on Tuesday night when we had to put Lucy down on Wednesday. So I kind of makes you put things in perspective, but then you know what? Yeah. I'll get to that game on Saturday, and I will see all those Neanderthal Oregon fans driving up from Eugene in their freaking Winnebagos like they just drove out of freaking, you know, Area 51, for God's sakes. And then all of a sudden, I'll say, you know what? The hell with perspective. I want to kick their freaking ass.
How does it feel to know that Washington has a losing record against Oregon since 1977?
Doesn't feel good at all, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Now, you know what's funny about this game, guys, and maybe you feel the same way, maybe you don't. I don't think either team has really proven jack squat to anybody.
No.
I mean, the best thing, when you combine the resumes of these two teams for this game on Saturday, what does Washington have? Well, they got a nice win in Provo. They got a nice win over USC. Have a big game against Arizona where they, for the most part, shut down a pretty good Arizona offense. But in the end, does that really translate across the country? A win over BYU, a win over a down USC program, a win over freaking Arizona? Nobody cares about that. The best thing that these two teams may have on their resume might be the first three quarters that Oregon played against Auburn.
Yeah.
And outside of that, there really is nothing else there. Colorado, the defense against Colorado, they had 30 points the previous week versus Arizona, and you guys hold them to three. So there really isn't anything that stands off the page right now that's really impressive on either side of the ball. The most impressive thing may be that loss and the way they played against Auburn up until the middle part of that fourth quarter. So I think this is a real show-me game for both these freaking teams.
Yeah, the North standings, too, are huge. Oregon wins, it's a stranglehold, and Washington wins the right back in the race.
It's over.
Yeah.
Oregon wins, it's over. Forget about it.
Where are you at, Softy, right now with Peterson's record in bowl games? I know that's something Duck fan does point out is the 1-4 and you guys coming up. So where are you at with Peterson right now just in terms of trusting that they're going to take that next step?
It's time to take the next step, right? I mean, I think you love overall what the guy's done. I mean, he's been here 6 years. He's gone to a Final Four. He's gone to a Rose Bowl. He's been to three straight New Year's Six bowl games. He's put a player on the all-conference team on the offensive line for the first time in 15 years. Had a first team, or excuse me, a offensive player of the year in a conference, a defensive player of the year in a conference. He's signing five-star recruits, four-star recruits. He's doing everything that we ask him to do except for that big signature victory. I mean, his signature victories so far are 70 points against you guys in 2016, winning every single Apple Cup until now from the end of time with Mike Leach there, and then the two Pac-12 championship games against Colorado and Utah. But what you don't have is when you play the Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, you don't have the win, and you don't even really have the competitiveness. I mean, those three games, for the most part, they've been hammered in all three. Yeah, the scoreboard looks different in the Rose Bowl, and the scoreboard looks different in the Fiesta Bowl, but for the most part, those games were done by halftime. So I think that's the next step for Chris Peterson, and Husky fans are obviously anxious for that to happen.
Yeah. Hey, we enjoyed it. Dave Softy Mahler, KJR at Softy KJR on Twitter. Don't block too many people this weekend. Enjoy the game.
Nah,
all right?
Block them all, Softy. Block them all. It's fun.
I did not enjoy this interview, and I'm glad it's over.
Later,
sorry about your dog, dude.
Yeah.
Bye. Later.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.